With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Welcome back, Rush Nation, to the 5 Yard Rush Daily Fantasy Sport Podcast. Mark, it is a sad one. It's the final one of the season. We finally reached the end goal of the Super Bowl. It feels like it's mad because we started this midway through the season, didn't we? And it actually feels like we've been going for a full season. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but yeah.
Getting fed up of each other already in half a season.
But yeah, we've finally reached the end of the road and we're at the Super Bowl. So sadly for the listeners, this is probably the last time you'll hear us, certainly in this format, for and a couple of months, I would say, Mike. We're probably going to have some well-deserved rest. I'm sure we'll be involved in other 5 Yard projects along the way. But certainly for the daily fantasy side of things, we'll be a little bit quiet for a couple of months. But don't worry, we will be gracing your ears again come the summer, I'm sure. Around that time anyway, late spring, early summer. So keep an eye out, of course. But before we sign off, Mark, we've got a very important game coming this weekend. And that's the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you excited?
Oh, can't you tell we're excited? We're doing this pod in our tuxedos, which I presumed is like the 5 Yard Rush mandatory for this week's pod. So I'm expecting to see stocks and Murph and Ayres.
Yeah.
one of the disadvantages of doing a video.
I hear Murph actually worries for his TalkSport interview as well the other day, which was very good, Murph. When you listen back to this, very, very good. And we're all very proud of you for that. You sounded great.
He'll be leaving us behind soon, won't he?
Yeah.
He's on a different trajectory.
Peasants, we are, but mere peasants. So yeah, we've got the Super Bowl this Sunday, Mark. Before we get into the daily fantasy side of it, no doubt you're looking forward to the game, but any thoughts that you've got on who you think may come out the victor?
On paper, it seems like a very close game, doesn't it? It seems like a really hard one to call. I think the teams will be very evenly matched. I think the one X factor, and I think the way it will be decided, is basically Tyreek Hill. I think he'll be the difference. And I think he'll win the game for the Chiefs.
Interestingly, I've just had a friend that's really got into his NFL in the past couple of months. And I said pretty much the same to him, that you've picked a really good time, because I think this is as close to Super Bowl as I can remember. I know last year's Super Bowl, again, you know, the Niners' defense was good, but they were up against Mahomes. This is a really good offense versus a really good offense, and both teams have got pretty good defenses as well. It's very, very evenly matched on paper. Two really good quarterbacks, a bit of a passing of the torch kind of thing with Brady and Mahomes in a Super Bowl. It's nice that we actually get to see that before Brady does bow out. But Brady isn't done by any stretch. He's been playing some great football in recent weeks and months. So yeah, I'm really excited as well, Mark. I'm with you. I think Tyreek Hill could have a big say, definitely. I've got a sneaky feeling that we're going to get a performance from someone that we're maybe not expecting. And I think that could be the difference between the two. And I don't know who that's going to be or what that performance is going to look like, but someone, I think, needs to step up big. You know, it could be someone like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who, you know, we're not expecting the Chiefs to run the ball specifically well, but if he has a big game, then, you know, that could be the deciding factor. Tyreek Hill, you'd expect, would be a big part of it as well, especially after his last performance against Tampa Bay. Mm. But yeah, really looking forward to it. We've only got one game, Mark, so we can't really go down the classic route like we usually would, like the listeners are accustomed to. So we're having to approach a slightly different format of Daily Fantasy Sports this week, and we are going with Showdown. Now, this is a format that you play more than I do, Mark, I think is fair to say. And it seems to be a format that you have a lot of success in. So tell the listeners a little bit about Showdown and how that differs to Classic.
So Showdown slate just basically means it's a one-match slate. You pick six players, one captain player, and then five flex players. The captain scores 50% more points than normal. So a touchdown, for example, which is normally 6 points, is worth 9. But the downside to that is he costs 50% more as well. So if he costs $10,000 in a flex spot, he's $15,000 in the captain spot. Other than that, the scoring system is identical. And that's it. I think there's all sorts of stuff to do with strategy, which is very different to Classic, which I think we're going to talk through as we go along. You approach cash games, I think, differently to GPPs. Well, I mean, you do anyway in Classic, but even more so with Showdown. And I think it'll be interesting. One thing that I think is really important to remember is this is going to be the first time the majority of DraftKings players play Showdown this season. It's definitely not as popular as Classic. And so there'll be a lot of people trying it for the first time. So I think that is obviously if you have any sort of strategy which you're confident in stuff, I think that will help you. And then we're here to obviously talk through all the possible options pretty much now and hopefully give everybody a bit of an advantage.
Yeah. So I know when I've done or played Showdown in the past, Mark, I have approached it not maybe the way I should have done. And I've just looked at maybe doing the odd two or three lineups here and there just to have a bit of interest in the game, which of course listeners can do. Nothing, you know, do what's comfortable. Play the game how you feel it should be played. You know, if you just want to set a lineup just so that you've got a bit of interest in the game, then great. But don't have high expectations that you're going to come out a profitable sum at the end of it, because a lot of people that play Showdown, as I'm sure you will agree, Mark, are putting in multiple lineups. And the reason they're doing that is that they're essentially covering the bases and allowing for a lot of different scenarios with your different captain player, if you will. So not every lineup will have a Patrick Mahomes in that spot. There'll be lineups that have Tom Brady. There'll be lineups that have Tyreek Hill. But how does your strategy tend to differ when it comes to Showdown versus, say, a classic lineup?
I think the main thing, and you've really touched on this already, is you need to play more lineups, especially in tournaments. We're talking tournaments at the moment. We can talk about cash games in a little bit. But yeah, you're right. You need to play as many tournaments as you're comfortable with. Sorry, as many lineups as you're comfortable with that you are able to control and maintain. So to give you an example, if I play a Showdown slate, I typically play 50 lineups, okay? But that's because I've got an optimizer I can use to create the lineups, and then I'm very good with my spreadsheets if I need to adjust them at later dates and stuff. If you haven't got those sort of things available to you, then manually going through 50 lineups in the last hour and a half after the inactives would be painful and horrible and very stressful. So that's what I do because I've got those tools available to me. But if you've literally got only 10 minutes before the game starts to, you know, sort out lineups, just play however many lineups you think you can cope with in that time. And the other side of it is the money of it. So if, for example, I just use an arbitrary figure of $5, if you're going to play $5 in a week, then I personally would play 20 lineups in the quarter arcade than playing, say, one $5 lineup or whatever, or a single entry like that personally, because like you say, you need to cover your bases. It's the highest variance form of the game because that captain spot is so important with the 50% more points. And due to the nature of the fact that kickers, for example, are relevant scorers in this game, you know, like I'm pretty sure the kickers are going to score more points than a lot of these sort of third, fourth, fifth string wide receivers this week. Those you just have to play what you're comfortable with, what you're able to control and maintain, for want of a better phrase. and just play as many lineups as you can. That's how I've found to be successful. And vary your captains in those lineups as well.
Yeah.
So out of my 50 lineups, I use between 5 and 10 captains based on how I'm feeling about that week. For example, if you're playing with Baltimore, say, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to be a lot of your, the captain a lot of the time for your Baltimore coverage. But this game, we have lots of options for captains because these teams have a lot of weapons.
How do you tend to approach with your captains then, Mark? So you're obviously looking for the players that you think will have the biggest impact on the game. Mm. But when it comes to choosing your captain for the benefit of the listeners, would you tend to then structure all of your lineups pretty much similar? So let's say you have 5 lineups with one captain, 5 lineups with another. Would you tend to use the same 5 lineups over and over, but with a rotated captain? Or do you tend to vary the lineup?
I think if you're playing the number of lineups that I play generally, which is 50, I think you need to have probably 2. You couldn't have 5 players the same and then rotate the captain. I don't think I'm making enough lineups there. I think probably you'd have maybe 3 or 4, which are a core across them. And obviously the other thing to bear in mind is who is your new captain should dictate who's in your flexes, because you do need to kind of tell a story. For example, if you put a quarterback in your captain spot, you should really have at least 2 receivers, because if your captain's going to do well, as in, and take full advantage of the captain spot, chances are a couple of his receivers have done really well. And equally, if you have, say, another popular correlation in this respect would be if you're putting a running back into the captain spot, is to have the corresponding the same defense as well, because that's quite a popular correlation anyway. I don't do that thing you're talking about where you have like the 5 flex and just rotate the captain, but I try and have 3 or 4, which are generally the same. And I think for this game, it's kind of obvious who those 3 or 4 are.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the game itself then. Yeah. So we've got quite obvious Patrick Mahomes is coming in as the highest costing player in the game with 18,000 as the salary. So I've no doubt, Mark, that you've got plenty of Patrick Mahomes across your lineups.
Yeah.
Have you also got plenty of Tom Brady across your lineups as well?
Yeah, definitely. You want to cover them both. So the way I approached this to start them off was I'd got Patrick Mahomes and Kelce, Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Just created a few lineups for each of those sorts of setups.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And then you would then do all the permutations of that, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
As in Kelce captain, and then
I think because it is a one-off game, Mark, and I think because of the format of Showdown, it allows you to have quite a strong lineup, and a lot of lineups will have similar players in there. So you're going to see across a lot of lineups the likes of Patrick Mahomes. You're going to see a lot of Travis Kelce. You're going to see a lot of Tyreek Hill. No doubt you'll see a lot of Tom Brady, and obviously the receivers there in Tampa Bay as well. You're going to see a lot of Chris Godwin. There's potentially going to be double ups of Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. So you'll probably find across the contests with the entries that are in there, a lot of the lineups are going to look very, very similar. So other than the obvious picking the right captain, Mark, the highest scoring player being your captain would be a great start. How can listeners win in this format? What can they do to stand out from the crowd?
So this is interesting because you talk about duplicated lineups is going to be a big issue. I would use the word issue. Is it really an issue in these large field tournaments? I think for the really big tournaments, you're not going to see a single unduplicated lineup win unless something really weird happens in the game where like a lineup which, you know, 2 kickers, 2 defenders and 2 really low-priced receivers or something wins it. But based on how the game goes, the most popular lineup may well be the optimal lineup, if you see what I mean. So the sort of Holmes, Hill, Kelce, and then whoever, Fournette, kicker, whatever, that may well be the optimal and he can't be beaten. So differentiating is generally a good thing to do anyway. It always is in all forms of DFS, but it might not necessarily win you a game. Win you a tournament in this case. So, but I have a couple of ways, I think, that a couple of strategies you can adopt if you want to be really different. And the first thing I always do with some with showdown lineups is I always have some showdown lineups where I've got the punt returner and the corresponding defense in them. The reason for that is that if they score a touchdown, that gets you 12 points rather than 6 because they both score. So in this game, McCole Hardman is kind of the primary punt returner for the Chiefs. But he's going to be a fairly common stack because I think people are going to play him, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Anyway, just as a receiver. Yeah. So I don't think he's going to be a punt returner you can play to differentiate yourself. But Tampa Bay has Jaden Mickens at only $200 on here. And him and the Bucs defense allows you to play anybody else in your other four spots. And I think that could be a really good way to try and, you know, differentiate yourself a little bit from the field.
Yeah.
You don't, won't necessarily be unique because I'm not the only person who thinks like this. But it definitely does help.
The key, I suppose, to that as well, Mark, is ultimately you can land on something like that, but the rest of your lineup, you've still got that risk, I suppose, of even if Mickens, for example, was to score a touchdown and you also stack the defense with it as well, the issue is the rest of your lineup still has to be good scoring, shall we say. It's still got to keep up with the pack. One thing like that won't just stand you out from the crowd. However, I suppose if you have someone like Mickens in, because of his price, it pretty much allows you to have anyone.
Yeah, the other thing is, don't forget, if all Mickens does in the game is return a touchdown, a punt for a touchdown, he's only scoring 6 points anyway. And in actual fact, that might not be more than a kicker, get scores and stuff. But what it does, like you said, it allows you to get anybody in. You know, looking at it already and stuff, you can pretty much pick everybody you want. All the main, you know, with your other four spots if you do that. And, you know, you don't, the other thing you can do, of course, is you could just play Mickens on his own and not put the Bucs D in there at all if you really like somebody else at that sort of range.
Yeah.
I do think, though, for this, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in the championship games, there was a range in, of the wide receivers between 3.5 and 4.5K. I don't know if you remember. And I said at the time, I think they were going to be the difference between whether you win or lose because all the other pieces were obvious. And I think this might be very similar. I don't know what you think about this, but in terms of, you know, your McCole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, those sort of players. If one of those goes off, that could make the difference, I reckon.
Yeah, I've just had a look. Interesting that you've mentioned Robinson. He's got a little COVID-19 designation next to him. So
he's going to be, I think he's going to be okay there. If he keeps testing negative, he's going to be okay.
Fingers crossed, because you don't want anyone missing the game that potentially could have impacted the outcome. I suppose, Mark, I mean, there's players there at your high end. Is there any that you've maybe got your eye on that you're flat out avoiding? I know we've had conversation after conversation in the past about these Tampa Bay receivers that on any given week, it could be Chris Godwin's week, it could be Mike Evans' week, it could be Antonio Brown's week, or it could be Rob Gronkowski's week. And when you expect it to be one of the four, Scotty Miller pops up and has a great week. So is there any that you're looking at there at the moment? I know there's a couple of questionable tags. Any that you're looking at and thinking, oh, I've not really got many of you in my lineups and I don't really want many of you in my lineups either.
Well, Antonio Brown at the moment, just because I just don't know, even if he does play, which is still, you know, in question. I don't know how effective he's going to be because of that injury. It just feels like such a Super Bowl storyline, doesn't it, for Tom Brady to throw a touchdown to Rob Gronkowski, doesn't it?
It does feel like a headline, yeah. Especially in the build-up where you've seen throwback videos that Tom Brady, I think, posted a throwback video where him and Gronkowski were heading towards a plane off the back of a Super Bowl win or a championship game win a couple of seasons back. So, yeah, that does feel like it writes its own headline almost.
Yeah, I think that was the Rams year, I think.
No, thanks for that.
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks very much for that, Mark.
Yeah,
okay. Still trying to forget that Super Bowl.
Yeah. So am I. I was a neutral. It was a terrible game.
It's definitely one for the defensive mindset.
Yeah. So I don't know what you think about those sorts of plays, but I'm not. There's no one particularly fading from Tampa Bay.
I tend to agree, Mark, on the Antonio Brown thing. To be honest, when there's been any lineup that I've put Antonio Brown in, I've not felt wholly confident in doing it because, bar the odd game here and there, I just don't feel like he sees the value. He's not the Antonio Brown of old. I don't think he sees the volume that he used to, and he doesn't get the yardage that he used to. What he has been getting in recent weeks is touchdowns. But again, I don't necessarily want to just be reliant on that. Obviously, it helps in this format. But yeah, I think the biggest impact in this game would come from one of Godwin or Mike Evans and Gronkowski before it comes from Antonio Brown, personally. So yeah, I've not got many of Antonio Brown in my lineups. And I mean, he's 9,300. He's on the other side of the field, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, at 10,500. But I think I'd rather try and fit someone like him in and take a punt on that. You know, the Tampa Bay run defense has been lauded as one of the best run defenses in the league, and that may be the case statistically. But I think I'd still rather take a punt on someone like that that has a chance of being quite heavily involved in the game. And it could be one of those players that, you know, because he is up against a tough run defense, that he's not necessarily as highly owned as he may be in other scenarios. So I think that's what I'd prefer to do.
I really wanted your opinion on this as well, because I'm really not sure at the moment. Is if you had to pick one out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Darrell Williams for the Chiefs, because actually Williams got more touches last week.
Yes, he did.
And now, obviously, CEH has come back from an injury. He's had another 2 weeks to heal up. And we kind of think he's the number one back there, don't we?
But we like to think so.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. What do you think? Because if you put Williams in there, that opens up a lot of money.
That, you know what? It's a tough one, that, Mark. I feel like I've been setting most of my lineups with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in mind. I feel like I've not given that much thought to Darrell Williams, because it's just expected that now Clyde Edwards-Helaire is healthy and ready to suit up, he is going to be the primary back. That was the case throughout the season. But Darrell Williams seems to have just rewound the clock 12 months and is pulling out playoff form. So that's a tough one. I feel like I'd want to do maybe a couple of lineups that include both of them, not together, but a couple of lineups that mirror each other, where maybe there's a lineup that has, or a few lineups that has Clyde Edwards-Helaire in, and then a few lineups that mirror that but have Darrell Williams in instead. I feel like I'd maybe want to do that just to cover bases.
Yeah. And the other one like this, I think we're doing the old 5-yard dynasty pod here. Would you rather? Is the other would you rather is Cameron Brate over Gronkowski, because in the playoffs, Brate's been averaging over 5 targets a game, and obviously Gronk hasn't at all.
Yeah. And Gronkowski seems to have been employed more as a blocker at times throughout the playoffs, I think is fair to say.
Yeah.
But I think it has been needed at times. You know, Washington have got a really good pass rush. The Saints have got a pretty good pass rush. And Green Bay, they had no issues whatsoever getting to Jared Goff when we played them. So, yeah, I don't know if maybe that's a factor in it. The Chiefs, their pass rush, is it as good as the teams they faced? I don't know whether that maybe has... I don't know whether that maybe has sort of like an outcome in that stat, Mark, because, you know, you look at Gronkowski's output in recent weeks, and no, it hasn't been great, and it hasn't been what we've expected from him during the regular season as well. But I think it's a one-off game, and I think in games like this, you know, you go to the guys that you trust, and there's definitely that trust there between Brady and Gronkowski. So I have no doubt that when it's, you know, when the game's on the line or when there's certain situations, he's going to be looking for Gronk.
But if those statistics were connected to a tight end and his name wasn't Gronkowski, you would always pick Brate above him.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Just based on the figures. And so, you know, I wonder if our hearts were running our heads a little bit there.
Maybe. But I think and really good point, but I think the fact that it is Gronkowski, I think that's why it can't be ignored. To be honest, there'll probably be lineups where I've got Cameron Brate in, and in fact, the 5-yard main channel did the little, here's $10, build your ideal lineup for this week. And I actually had Cameron Brayton as my tight end in that rather than Gronkowski and Kelce, because it feels like he's always good for a red zone appearance. Cameron Brayton in the back of the end zone just pops up. All of a sudden, he's got the ball, touchdown. So, and he's more expensive than Gronk this week. So, I don't know even on the pricing there as well. 7,200 versus 4,500 for Gronk. That's a big jump. That's a big jump for a player that's been in these situations before and had such a big impact in Super Bowl games. That's a tough one. Again, I think it's just going to be a case of some lineups are built with Brayton and some lineups are built with Gronkin.
This is sort of the quintessential the dilemmas in showdowns and why it's so hard to do play one lineup in showdown is because there are, when you're looking at individual teams, you're talking about such fine margins because the points are so, there's so few points because it's only one game. And these are the questions which kind of like drive you nuts.
Yeah. if anything, we've highlighted that it's almost impossible to win in this format by playing one lineup. It's just not
feasible. So much luck. It's so much luck involved in that. If you're doing one lineup, there's so much luck involved. There are single entry contests and stuff, but there is so much luck involved in that. I think over a whole season, you might be able to, you know, do well generally, the same as you would in cash games. But to just decide this is the lineup, this is the one that's going to win, it's not going to happen like that.
Yeah, you've got to have basically six guys that hit.
Depends on how the game goes, of course. I mean, if it's a low-scoring game.
True.
You know,
in which you're hoping your defense hits, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And in this game, both defenses could score as well. Mm. You know, that's really feasible, so...
Both defenses are fairly similar priced as well.
They always do that with the defenses, pretty much.
I think reflective in this game, I expected that anyway, to be fair, because I think it is such a close game. Going to the other end of the scale, Mark, in the sort of rummaging in the bargain bin, if you will, of players that are available. I know we've mentioned once already Jaden Mickens, but is there anyone down there, you know, the sub sort of 2,000 price bracket that you're looking at and you're thinking that could be a nice little play, even if it's just like a bit of an enabler, taking a punt on someone to allow you to basically build whatever lineup you so desire? But is there anyone down there that has caught your eye at a cheaper price?
Well, if you're looking at the flex position under 2K, there is, like, you know, Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, assuming he's good, and Tyler Johnson. They're very, very inconsistent. But I quite like Anthony Sherman at only 400. Because he's basically like you're getting him for free. And I just really feel that I can easily imagine, you know, when they're showing the sort of highlights at the end or something, of seeing a fullback carrying the ball in from like half a yard, you know, with the very short handoff, you know, the very quick handoff.
Anthony Sherman, MVP.
Yeah, that sort of play. I don't know. Maybe it's so many times, so many years of watching the Patriots in there, this makes me think like that. But I could really see something like that. What about you? You said anything down there?
No, not really. No, there's nothing really enticing me down there, to be honest. If I was to go down there, I mean, Darwin Thompson at 300, there's always the chance that, you know, he's a running back at the end of the day. You only need to break off one big carry and you've scored well. You know, even one carry that's in and around the red zone, that he just is in for that and finds his way into the end zone. You know, that would be maybe the only one at $300. I don't think there's anyone else down there that I've really got my eye on. Tyler Johnson is priced at 1,800, which isn't a bad price, but it doesn't feel like he's been as involved in recent weeks as some of the games earlier in the season. So again, it's just a complete punt. I think if you're picking anyone down at that value, you just don't expect anything, and then, you know, whatever you do get back, it's a plus. But I suppose what it does allow you to do is basically put together whatever lineup you want to, and that's the reason somebody, that you look down there.
And somebody like, you know, Sherman at like $400, he's an flex play. He only needs to score 1.6 points to be four times value. You know? So that's like one dump off for 6 yards or something. So as long as the rest of your other five players do what they're meant to do and stuff, and they're the best players. Again, this is another part of the variance. You could pick that player, like we said about Mickens, you could pick that player and he could score and he could score some points. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be on the winning lineup, because there still could be six other players who fit in the salary cap who score more points. So, and, you know, large field tournaments, everything's going to be covered here, I just think. So, yeah, that's just one of the joys of Showdown.
So the top and bottom of it is, Mark, is play lots of lineups, play lots of variations of lineups, and don't discount a single player. Make sure you have got a good mix in those lineups. Do not put the same lineup together over and over and over again, because chances are it won't work. It could do, but it probably won't.
Yeah, pretty much. Cash games, though, we can be a little bit more definitive in what we want to say about cash games, because this is the thing which has been really successful for me this year.
Tell the listeners about cash games, Mark, just so that they know what you mean by cash games, in case they're new to, again, this format.
Yeah. So it basically means double ups, 50-50s or head-to-heads. Okay. So you're winning, you either have to be in the top half or the top 45%, or you only have to beat one other player. So you don't have to have the best score. It's a little bit like the old, you know, you don't have to run faster than the bear, you just have to run faster than your mate sort of thing, you know? It's that sort of, you just have to be in the top half. And Showdown, because of the variance in scoring, and because people are reluctant to do this, there's one real edge you can have. And I found this has worked like over 75% of the time this year for Showdown games I've played in, is you just pick a lineup with the two quarterbacks, the two main running backs, and then the two kickers. And people are always reluctant to play kickers. Especially you don't play them in classic slates on DraftKings, so it seems a bit alien to them. But a kicker, if you think about some of the sort of dead cert players we've played this year, especially at wide receiver, and we, you know, everyone says they're going to score touchdowns, 100 yards, get the bonus, all of that, and then they don't, and they end up with, like, I don't know, 3 for 25 or something, or, you know, that happens, and it could happen in this game. It's very feasible that, you know, especially with Evans or Godwin, you've already touched upon it, one of them could barely do anything.
Yeah.
And a kicker scoring like two field goals and two extra points would score 8 points, and it would be more than that. So more than them. So so for cash games, what you're basically trying to do is you're just trying to cover all the scoring. You're trying to get all the touchdowns from the passing game, all the running game touchdowns, and the kicking points. Now, of course, not every team, it's obvious who the running backs are you should play, because we've already had this debate now with Kansas City. Should you play CEH or Williams? With Tampa Bay, we think it's Fournette, don't we? We think now he is the main man.
Playoff Lenny.
So we think he's the main man. So what you can do is if you want to play CEH as the running back for Kansas City, then you have to play Brady as your captain for the cash game lineup. It's the only way it fits. If you play Williams as your Kansas City running back, you can play Mahomes as your captain, but, you know, with the two kickers, etc. One other point about this is, because I said right at the beginning of the pod that there'll be lots of new players to this week, to Showdown generally, I'm probably more likely to play head-to-heads than I am double-ups. Hoping to try and pick some people trying out for the first time.
Yeah. Praying on the weak and the creating victims there, Mark.
Well, yeah. So actually, you know, in a cash game, you wouldn't pick Kelce, you wouldn't pick Hill, you wouldn't pick Evans, you wouldn't pick Godwin. And that's worked over the course of a season. Now, obviously, on a one-off game, it may well not work.
Yeah.
But it's worked just under 80% of the time for me this year so far.
I feel like some of my better weeks have come from double ups through the week, through the slate, because it's like the sort of, if you accept that you're taking the smaller win, you do build up a nice little pot over the course of the season, I think, if you're playing the slates, especially like the main slates and you know, the one-off games on, say, Thursdays or Mondays, whatever they might be. But I think, you know, don't aim necessarily super high, that you don't always have to do that to make this kind of format profitable. We've said many a time, Mark, how's your weekend gone? And I've said, oh, I'm up by, you know, whatever. The fact is you're up. And if you can sort of build that pot up and double your money here, double your money there, you know, you're entering twice as many contests next time, and potentially you've got that chance to double your money again. And this is where you start building up that nice little pot, rather than just throwing money at it without really much strategy there. So the double ups, I think, are really good for that.
And you're a really consistent player, Nick. You're way more consistent than me. It's the double ups really suits you, your style of play. For me, I'm very much a boom or bust sort of player. Which I hate, by the way. It's not a plan. I'm not trying to be consistent. it's not what it aimed to be. So for me, double ups wouldn't necessarily... in classic slates, double ups don't necessarily work. I think with cash games, I've done really well with double ups this year. By basically using that formula of two quarterbacks, two running backs, two kickers.
I think in summary of my season, Mark, I think I'm just going to stick to tiers next year.
Yep.
I've done pretty well at tiers.
There you go, whole new pod. So we definitely need to cover in this summer differences, different strategies for tiers, classics, showdowns again. That's what
No doubt. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of guests on in the summer as well to talk their experiences and maybe even touch on a couple of the things that you might want to explore daily fantasy sports wise throughout the summer, because fingers crossed it's going to be an action packed one, despite only having the NFL starting from September. I think that rounds us off nicely, Mark, for Super Bowl week. I feel like I'm shedding a tear almost. It's
emotional.
But as we said earlier in the pod, we will be back. Massive thanks to the listeners that we've had on every week, any new listeners that have stuck by us since we started this. We will absolutely be back for the 2021-22 season. And of course, we will be back during the off season so that we can talk strategy and we can get some guests on as well to get their thoughts. Because as much as I'm sure you love hearing from myself and Mark, it's always nice to get that different perspective, Mark, isn't it? So...
It is. I like to hear from people other than me. So.
Yeah. To be honest, I like hearing anyone's voice other than my own. But thanks very much, Mark. Absolute pleasure as always. And I've loved doing this pod throughout the season. And
me
I
too.
Can't wait to pick it back up again in the off season after a slight break. For all the listeners out there, stay safe. Enjoy Super Bowl weekend. As always, gamble what you can afford to lose. This has to be fun. Make sure that you do gamble responsibly whenever you do play daily fantasy sport or whenever you are staking your own money on anything like this. But more important than the gambling, what should our listeners be doing, Mark?
Draft responsibly.
Absolutely. We will see you in the summer.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.